Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen and I'm pleased to be joined this evening by Megan, who is a part of the Sangha here in California and has done the at-home working meditation retreat several times and has agreed to be on with us tonight to talk about that. Welcome, Megan.
Hello.
Hey. So, we just, you know, in the winter time, in the winter months, we can't have as many retreats and that sort of thing because it's cold at the monastery and we live pretty close to the elements. And so summertime is really when we do all of our retreats. And so we don't do so many of the at-home opportunities like guidance days and at-home working meditation days and that sort of thing. And so just, I think it was last Saturday, we had our first at-home working meditation day of the season, and so we're starting to launch into the time when we'll do a lot more of them. So we thought it would be fun to talk about that tonight and to dial people into what that opportunity is all about. And so, Megan, I think you've done at least a couple of them, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yep, about three, I think.
Three.
Maybe four.
Mm-hmm. Great. So I wondered
if
you could just start off by telling us kind of how the day works, like what's the structure of it?
Sure. Well, the first thing that I want to put out there that, you know, I didn't know would be happening and is I found to be really helpful is that you get sort of a heads up ahead of time via email of sort of what the schedule will look like.
Yeah.
And so that you can prepare with, if you live with someone else or you have kids or things like that, it allows you to sort of work with other folks in your vicinity if you're doing that, so that you can have as much of a privileged environment as possible for you, and they understand what's going on, and you can sort of sort all that out. So that's really helpful. That's a really helpful tool that's available, you know, that the monks and monastery have put together.
Yeah,
so
that's a great point.
One thing.
Yeah. So that.
Yeah.
If you need to have the phone line at certain times of the day or that sort of thing, you
exactly.
can set it all up ahead of time so you're not all day long in conversation, oh, now I'm going to need the phone again, and can we please?
Yes.
You know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, if you need to make sure, you know, that people know when it is that you will be doing various different things, that you can sort of be doing those and that you will be, because we work on the privileged environment, so there's, you know, that there won't be eye contact, you know, that we're trying to keep it as quiet as possible, you know, that kind of thing that you can work with people around and they can have an understanding rather than it just showing up that day.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's really helpful. So it's, you know, basically it's getting a chance to practice, you know, at your own home, what you get to have when you go to the monastery. So it's like the next best thing to being at the monastery and getting to practice all those tools that we have, and you get to be with Sangha around that.
Yeah, which is so great because, you know, it used to be that it felt like, well, if I want to seriously practice, then I've got to go to the monastery. And for a lot of people, that wasn't reasonable, or certainly not reasonable more than, you know, every whatever, a couple times a year or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so so how great to have the support of Sangha all day, throughout a day, but get to be in your own home, where so often conditioning says, well, yeah, that's great. I mean, you can go to the monastery and practice, but just wait till, you know, you're at home. You can't pull it off. And getting to choose whatever you want to choose, like, you know, people choose all kinds of fun things to work on during the day.
And what's great is you get to, each time you do it, like, you know, so each time that I've gotten to do it, I've gotten to try different things and see what comes up with my process around that.
Uh-huh.
And like you said, you have the whole day.
Yep.
It's such an amazing feeling to know that not only do you have, you know, are you on in group on the phone and getting to do that, you have a guidance call, but then when you're doing your, and sitting, we get to sit together, but when you're doing your work, you're knowing that you're with Sangha, and it's just a reminder of that, because it's so easy for conditioning to get in there and be like, you're all alone, you're at your home, nothing matters, you know, the practice doesn't matter, and that's not true, and you get to have that reminder.
Yeah, in a much more tangible way, because, of course, it's always not true. We're never on our own. It all matters all the time. But as you say, getting to be on the phone. So we start the day on the phone together. We have an orientation. Mm-hmm. We have a little, you know, kind of dial people into the day, the schedule, assist people with privileged environment, that sort of thing. Then the middle of the day, we have another group where we check in, you know, have a chance, how's it going, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, we have, I think it's over an hour, a nice long group to really debrief the day. Yeah.
Yep, and an optional sit, you know, if people want. And it's a really, it just feels very supportive loving and kind to be a part of that and to give that as a gift to yourself. And especially, you know, around the idea of what, you know, getting to look at all the beliefs around what is work and what, how can we incorporate, how do we get to have practice be in every aspect of our lives rather than, oh, I can't really bring practice to work because it just doesn't, right? You know, we get to really look at that and that you can't pick a wrong thing to do that day. It's and that's a really wonderful thing, too.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah, it really is. You know, people do all kinds of stuff from cleaning out closets to catching up on email to being out in their garden to just all, you know, anything. And I love, you know, so often I hear people talk about choosing things that they either really want to do or always get talked out of. Or the voices are telling them, you know, oh, this is going to be so hard. You know, I've got to do this, but I really don't want to. And so to tackle something where the voices sort of have had their way with us on a project, if you will, and to prove it wrong every time.
Yes, and that you get to, and that that was actually one thing that I had picked this time was something that I had never done before. And so I was thinking, well, what a perfect place and time to do that. With all the support that's around me, so I can keep building the evidence and that conditioning is wrong, and cultivating my relationship with mentor, and using recording and listening, you know, all the tools that we have to keep coming back to that and utilizing them and doing it on this particular day.
That's so perfect because what I hear in that is that you know practice is a place for us to support our heart, and there can be places. Of sort of everyday content of life that doesn't come on retreat just because, you know, you're on retreat. So you're not paying your bills. You're not cleaning your closets, all of those things. And so to get to bring that same support of Sangha to seeing through the beliefs and assumptions in that area, seeing through the voices in that area to an everyday life content, and as you say, bring more and more of our lives into practice is just so earlier you called it a gift, which I think is such a perfect word for it.
Yeah, and I was realizing, thinking about this, that this is sort of, you get to see the heart's version of what a work day could look like, you know, if you want to call it that, you know, but instead of conditioning's version, and that is a gift as well, and that you get to keep seeing that every time we have the opportunity to do this at-home working meditation retreat day. It's really powerful.
Yeah, so it sounds like you'd recommend it.
Oh, yeah. And I love, too, when we're able to get the schedule, you know, a little bit ahead of time so you can block it out, you know, so you can make that time because that's all the parts of the pieces we're, you know, we're working on, committing to our hearts, to ourselves, to practice, and that this just gets to be one more piece to it that really helps when we don't have the retreats anymore. Or you can't get to them. It's an amazing practice opportunity. I feel.
Yeah. That's great. I really agree. And I know those of us here at the monastery who get to both participate in them and be involved in offering them really, really love the opportunity. We were just talking about that when we were starting the first one for the season on Saturday and just saying what a pleasure it is to be back on board with them. So,
yeah, cool. It's almost now it's feeling like it's going in with the seasons, like the summer gets to be the monastery retreats and then fall and winter we get to do, you know, guidance appointments and the at-home working meditation retreats and some of the other things. Like there's something that's starting to come up with that, like it's becoming this thing that's it's just part of practice and part of what we get to do. It's an opportunity and the gratitude I have for that is really, I have a lot of gratitude for that. So thank you for that.
Me too. I do too. And that's fun. I hadn't thought about it that way, but there's sort of a seasonal way that practice goes and we're entering this next season. And so This is, you know, it's winter time, so we go and we hibernate, but we still get to be with Sangha.
Exactly. Yeah, and like I said, getting to block out that time. Unfortunately, I don't get to do the next one because we have people coming into town. But I've gotten to a place, and I've heard other people too, where it's you practice and your heart and figuring out what you practice, you know, after coming from the what you practice, what you have retreat, and just doing those things, recognizing that blocking that time for yourself and making that for you and is incredibly, you know, it's really important. It's the best thing you could do, especially toward conditioning.
What I hear in that is that, yes, it supports you that day on the Saturday that you do it, and it's a great day, and it's fun, and it's, you know, inspiring and all of that. The benefits of it are much, much more than just that. So it's sort of like you go out for a run, and that's great. You know, that's a good workout. But the act of running, the staying committed to running, the long-term support that is for your physical being, it's the same thing with staying connected with Sangha and with committing ourselves to practice opportunities. It keeps us where we want to be in our lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Megan, for being on with us this evening.
Thank you for inviting me. It's an honor.
You're most welcome. Take good care.
You too. Thank you. Have a great show.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, Michael, this is normally where I would pass things over to you and Sherry, but Sherry's actually on retreat, and so I will be sticking around and joining you for the rest of the show.
Great. Great. That is very exciting.
Isn't that fun?
I was just thinking, you know, do I say welcome to open air or do I not? Or
how are we going to transition?
How am I going to
update to the show?
Yes. Well, here we are.
Here we are. We just did it.
We just did it. Don't you? I love that about practice.
I do too.
About just being thrown into the moment. And, you know, if I can just talk about what's going on with me, it's really helpful to me and to everybody else as well. I've noticed.
Oh, yes, exactly. Life will lead.
Yes. Jen, I have some announcements here.
Excellent, because I have one I want to chime in on, so go for it.
Great. Okay. This coming Saturday, I believe, September 24th, is Guidance Day for monthly donors. These are appointments by phone throughout the day, and the last day to register is tomorrow, Wednesday, September 21st, by 5 p.m. Pacific time.
That wasn't the one I was going to chime in on, but I'll try not to chime in on every single one. But
okay. Do you want to tell yours now?
No, that's okay. But what I was going to say about this one is that it's we were just talking to Megan about the at-home working meditation days, which actually also include a guidance appointment with a monk.
Yes.
I'm sure we mentioned that.
Yes.
And so the day that's coming up on Saturday is you get to, it's not a whole at-home working meditation day. It's just a single appointment that you sign up for. And it's a special way of us honoring the folks who are, you know, the stalwarts of financial support for the organization, people who give a monthly contribution. And so this is an opportunity that's open to them and really, really neat. It, you know, people write in and say how helpful it is to be able to have that one-on-one appointment. And it's, again, like the at-home days, it's a pleasure for the monks, I know, to be able to provide it.
Yes. And I was going to mention just a minute ago that I also had a chance to participate on last Saturday's at-home retreat day, and it was fabulous, just to add my 2 cents in. Really
great,
enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And the following Saturday, October 1st, from 12 noon to 4 p.m., if you haven't heard, is the 10th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk, which is a special celebration of the 10th anniversary of the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
You can still register. It's too late to get a T-shirt, sadly. We had to put our T-shirt order in, but it's not too late to come to the walk to support the folks in Cantalumba. If you register, you are still adding another child to the food program. And we can still order you a burrito if you get in there soon. So,
great.
Great.
And the next quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies practice is coming up. That's October 15th through January 15th. The last day to sign up is October 1st, the day of the Bridge Walk. And this is an opportunity to connect with a participant in another part of the country or even another country every week for 30 minutes of practice support.
Now, that's another really, really golden at-home opportunity, being able to practice right from your own home. We were talking at the end of the last There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat that just ended less than, I don't know, whatever it was, a week or so ago, and just saying how that's a great support for following up with practice. You know, you've had this amazing retreat. You finish off. How can you, what are you going to do to continue to support yourself? And having a reflective listening buddy is a great way to do that.
Yes. You know, this practice is starting to sound pretty amazing.
It
the
really
more
is.
I hear about it.
I know. Really.
And it's funny because it is amazing, and I can forget that it's amazing,
yep.
which is amazing in itself.
Yes.
And so it's great to be reminded of that.
And you know, Michael, that is exactly why all of these opportunities are there. Because
yes.
even with how extraordinary practice is and how lucky we are to live the lives that we live, conditioning manages to have us forget that. And so
yes.
what do we need to do? We often talk about the number one thing we're doing in practice is reminding ourselves, remembering.
Yes.
And pretty much
yes.
everything on the schedule is a way to remember it. That's why it's there. To remember who
yes.
we are, what our heart wants, why we're here, why we're doing this.
Yes, 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 exactly. Thank you for that, Jen. October 21st through 25th, that's a Friday through Tuesday, Your Deepest Heart's Desire, and this is a retreat with Dave McKay and Chris Larson at Southern Dharma Retreat Center in Hot Springs, North Carolina, and that's in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains.
So all you Southeasterners, no excuse there. That's an
yes.
in-person opportunity in the fall
yes.
In North Carolina. That's got to be gorgeous.
Yes, yes. And that same weekend out here in California, October 21st and 22nd, Friday evening and all day Saturday, is Creative Power in Life and Art, Finding Your Creative Muse, Exploring Your Creative Path. This is a retreat with Sherry Huber and Jenny Fox at Namaste in Felton, California.
It turns out I am going to say something about every one of them. Sorry.
Well, that's
about that.
Good.
But
that's good.
I happen to know, I think the next thing you're going to say is, isn't that another at-home working meditation weekend? Don't we have one?
Yes, following that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, the same weekend, yes.
Yeah, the same weekend. So that's great because now we know how good those are. And what I was going to say is if I wasn't helping facilitate that, I would definitely be going to that Namaste retreat because, I mean, we all know what an amazing facilitator Sherry Huber is. And I happen to know Jenny and Paul, who are the artists that she's doing this retreat with. And they're amazing, just super wonderful, artistic, creative folks. And so to couple that, you know, put that combination together of Sherry Huber with those folks doing art together, just that's going to be a really special, special kind of a retreat. So I'd recommend that to anyone in the Northern or, you know, anywhere from anywhere, really. It'd be worth flying in for.
Yes, not to mention the beautiful location that
yeah.
Namaste is.
Yeah, you've been down there on retreat. It's,
many times.
Yeah.
Many times. And as you mentioned, October 22nd is another one-day at-home working meditation retreat guided by the monks.
Cool.
And the following weekend, October 29th, another guidance day for monthly donors, and that's appointments by phone throughout the day.
Fun.
And, wow, now we got email classes. Oh, my goodness. we're covering everything here. November 1st through 30th, it's Time to Feel Good email class with Sherry.
Yep, that's an excellent class, the prerequisite to the What You Practice retreat, which is a phenomenal retreat. I think we've talked about that before in the Good News Update. So that's that class is going to have, Sherry's been talking about it, track A, B, and C. So if you've never done it, you'll be on track A. If you've done it once before, track B. If this is your third time, you get a track C. So very, very fun.
Very fun. And on November 5th, Sherry will be doing a workshop in San Diego, and the registration details for that will be coming soon. And to close out this wonderful, expansive year, we have the Conscious, Compassionate New Year's Retreat with Sherry at the Santa Sabina Center in San Rafael, California, in the hills of beautiful Marin County. And that is December 27th through January 1st, Tuesday through Sunday.
That's the one
and
I was going to say.
Yes.
I have a feeling that this is the week, if I'm not mistaken, this coming week, the registration office is going to be looking at that retreat to make sure, you know, there's always sort of a cutoff date where you look at, okay, how are we doing? You know, can the retreat go forward? And it's especially true with somewhere like San Rafael, where we're using someone else's venue. And so, you know, we have to pay them to use it. And so we have to make sure that we're going to get enough signups in order to have our fabulous retreat. So I just wanted to put an extra plug in for that this week, that if you're thinking about it, it's just, I think it's one of the most phenomenal retreats of the year and really, really special, quite special. People do fly in from all over, even Europe, to come to it. And so I can't say enough about really making that, if you can put it on your calendar, if you can make it happen, to really do that and join us, be with us for bringing in the new year.
Great. And those dates are December 27th through January 1st. Okay. Jen, I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. And I think we're ready to get started.
Great.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen and Michael. This is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Well, let's see. I haven't had a chance to record and listen about this topic, so.
But you are now.
But I am now, yeah. I have two daughters, and they both, the older one has been playing trumpet for a year and a half or so and enjoys going to band and everything. And the other one just started guitar lessons last night. And the younger one, is already digging in her heels about practicing her guitar. And, you know, she's got a neat teacher. He seems like he's going to keep things fun. But he made a point of saying, you know, okay, you should try and practice about 25 or 30 minutes a day. It doesn't have to be all at once, because otherwise you won't be able to play it. Mm-hmm. You'll just have to be this another person with a guitar in the corner who doesn't know how to play it. and she gets that.
Yeah.
And at the same time, at one point we stopped doing piano with her because she threw such a fit over practicing. And at the end of the day, when I'm not going to continue to pay for lessons when you don't do anything.
Right.
And the older one, who's actually, she's been doing trumpet for a while. With her, it's just kind of she practices, but it's always with an eye on the clock can it be over now?
Uh-huh.
And I used to play the trumpet through 1 year of college, so I've got a lot of background, and my whole family has kind of a music thing going on, but it brings up a lot of energy when they're not wanting to, and I haven't yet figured out a really great way to, yes, I want you to have fun, yes, you need to practice,
uh-huh,
and if you don't practice, eventually there'll be no more lessons,
uh-huh,
and yet playing an instrument can be a lot of fun, whether you're by yourself or in a group,
uh-huh,
and I want them to have a good time with this, and
So is it sort of a you want them to want to practice?
Because they express an interest in, I want to learn this instrument. I want to play guitar, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, I'll, you know, hey, this is great. I know someone who has hundreds of guitars. He'll give us one. And you can go and take lessons and learn how to play the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
But learning how to play the guitar entails learning how to, putting your fingers on it, actually doing stuff with it.
Right.
And
is it that way for them? Like, is it a sense that she's excited about it and really interested until it comes down to the, now we have the guitar at home and it's time to practice?
Kind of. And she has some, she's only nine, but she's got some, she has some pretty good conditioning going on, and she has names of a couple of voices in her head, and I haven't talked to her about that, but you know, my own pet theory is that they're basically, she's excited about it, and then she gets talked out of it.
Yeah.
But we haven't actually explored that too much yet.
So you're saying that she herself has names for a couple of the different things that go on inside of her?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
And
yeah. So,
go ahead. Well, it is interesting. We talked a little bit about this before in the past, but yeah, she says things like, well, they make me do this or they make me do that.
Yeah.
And like I said, we have not actually explored what they say about instrument practice.
Uh-huh.
Because it seems like it would be ideal for them, meaning the voices, to be able to not do something that she wants to do.
Exactly. Like if she really wants to play the guitar, and then, you know, there's all that excitement in the beginning, and then brings the guitar home, and the voices start talking her out of it. Oh, this is too whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever that would be for her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it sounds like the guitar content is brand new.
It is. The first lesson was last night, and then I was here in the morning because it's my day off, and so I offered to, you know, I do not play guitar myself. I know what she's supposed to be doing, so
yeah.
I can keep track of that. But she says,
uh-huh.
And I'm just like, okay, great, maybe we'll do it later. And yeah.
And what does it feel like for you, Chris, that would be helpful kind of for you when that happens? You know, so there you are, maybe you're excited. There's something going on for you as that process starts out. It sounds like you really want her to have the experience of playing an instrument if she wants that, and you know it could be fun for her, et cetera, et cetera. And then it comes to the, you offer to, you know, be with her as she practices, I don't really want to. Do you have a sense for you what would be helpful in that scenario?
I want to know that she's not going to be this way her whole life about everything. I know that putting things off for me has been an issue that has led to not doing things that I want to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'd like it to be different for her, and I see it at such a young age. And it's,
Yeah. Yeah. So you realize that for you, the process of putting things off has caused you some suffering and has prevented you from doing some things in your life that you really wanted to do.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And she's just so young, and I don't want her to have that experience.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Because we can guess that it may have started for you quite young as well.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
I don't remember, I should talk to my dad about this, how much resistance I had to practicing. I mean, I know I practiced pretty much every day, but that was a long time ago when I was in high school and junior high, and I really can't tell you what I should find out.
Yeah.
You know, but my dad is a band director, so maybe there was a lot more unspoken pressure of you will practice. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. And it just occurs to me what a gift it could be to your daughter for you to discover in you what that process is about.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So, and it sounds like, I mean, you have a sort of a live example, if you will, because this content sounds like brings that all back up for you. You get back in touch with, you know, what that was like to put things off and to wish you hadn't, and the consequences that had for you in your life. And so you sort of get a front row seat to that, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you to spend some time really looking at who in you is that, and how old is he, and what does he need, and what would he have needed? Do you know, if he had had someone with him, like a unconditionally loving mentor sort of figure, when he was doing some of those procrastinating behaviors, what would he have wanted? What a gift that could be to both of you, both to you, and, you know, give you some access, some insight into what you might want to offer to her.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also true. I mean, I know I didn't start, well, this is probably just conditioning talking. I didn't start in the instrument until I was in fifth grade, and she's early in fourth and whatever. But Yeah, I can see how I'm not quite. This phone call has brought up, that was a great question, thank you, because this phone call brought up, that basically, when she would, you know, dig her heels in about not practicing, or even my older daughter for that matter, it would bring up, you know, body sensations
yeah.
of this is bugging me, but
yeah.
it wouldn't bring up tears of I wish I hadn't
yeah.
kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's just so easy to see that, you know, you want everything for them that, you know, whatever at a certain point you didn't have or whatever that is, and to give yourself the gift of going back and mentoring that guy.
Yeah.
You know, that little guy in you who wanted some things or didn't get to do what he wanted to do because he got talked out of it. And that, you know, just like with all of practice, as we discover that for ourselves, it just naturally flows out of us to interact with our loved ones from that place. Not because we need to fix something or something needs to be changed, but just because in a sense we have insight into that process.
Yes. Uh-huh. And hopefully I could be whatever it is would be useful or helpful or needful for me to be for her when she's in that place of I
yeah.
want to learn the guitar, but I don't want to actually practice.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, really what we're talking about is a process of being at center, of being the mentor who can mentor both the, you know, the little guy Chris in there who's having that experience triggered,
mm-hmm.
and then being able to be that for your daughters. And from that place, you know, there's nothing wrong. It's okay. It's all and together we sort of find if she really wants to play the guitar, then we'll discover a way that can happen. That can be fun, or we can, you know, it doesn't always have to be fun, but you know, we want to do it anyway or whatever that is. But we can approach it from that place of it's all okay. Let's see where we are.
Yeah, I can do that. Thank you. That was very helpful.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for calling in tonight.
You bet. And I would like to actually have somebody else here would like to have a call. Would that be all right?
Say that again?
But there's somebody else here who would like to have a call tonight. Would that be okay?
Oh, okay. Michael, can we do that?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
It won't be a regular occurrence in this way, but here, hold on a second, please.
Okay.
And thank you both.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Michael and Jen. This is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, thanks.
The whole family tonight.
Well, almost. We should get the other two members in here, but they're doing chores right now. So.
Okay, good.
So thanks for letting us squeeze this in. I've been trying to call and just haven't been able to make it.
Okay.
On the other Tuesdays. I guess I don't really have a lot tonight. I just wanted to check in and, you know, I'm feeling a little bit disconnected because a lot of the things I've wanted to do with practice lately, I have not, you know, I just haven't been able to do it. I wasn't able to do the working meditation, and I had plans to maybe even go to the monastery, but I wasn't able to do that. And so I just wanted to check in and get connected.
Excellent. That's such a good reason to call, isn't it?
Yeah, although conditioning really wanted me to not get
yeah.
on the call.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I didn't have anything important to say.
Right.
And I was too busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And there's no problem, and you have to have a problem, really.
Right.
Right, if you're going to call in. And right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, but, you know, there's not a lot. I mean, there's a lot going on in my life right now, but actually, even though there's some big things, there actually isn't a problem. Which is
Boy, that's nice.
Kind of neat in itself.
It really is.
You know, not that there, like I said, not that there isn't anything going on. There's actually a lot.
Yep. And you know, there's always going to be a lot.
Yeah, I'm kind of figuring that out.
Yeah, me too. There's always going to be a lot. And so we might as well practice in exactly the way you're talking about, which is, that's okay. You know, really everything that's going on is completely okay. And to practice with seeing that, how is this thing, you know, conditioning constantly wants to come in with the next big thing and this is a problem and this is whatever it is for each of us, you know, however it gets.
Yeah.
But it actually doesn't have to be, because when we stop and look at it, every single time we've been told that before, it's always worked out. And the way we know that is we're still here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I find the more I let go and just be okay with the way things are, the more that the way things turn out are the way that it works out for me.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
I tracked it perfectly. Yes. It's basically, it's easier to want the life you have than to follow conditioning around in dissatisfaction.
Right.
Yeah. And so calling in and connecting with Sangha just because you know that's what supports you is so perfect. Not because there's some, you know, problem or something's going on or I need help, but just because that's how we keep ourselves in the place of everything's okay, is by connecting with each other with Sangha.
Exactly, which is why I'm coming to the Bridge Walk.
Excellent.
For my first one ever.
Good for you.
So, and we are, we're all coming down.
You're all coming down.
The family is coming.
So it's
really exciting for us, and we went through a lot of, should we do that? Ooh, maybe we, you know, need to donate that money instead, or, you know, we tried to strike a balance between what we were donating and donating ourselves.
Oh, that's the best donation you could give. I'm so excited.
We're really, really, really excited to do that for the weekend.
All right, so we'll see you very soon then.
Yeah, we'll see you very soon. Thank you very much.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa and Chris. You're listening to Open Air. Jen, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Great.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Hi. This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Jen, we have another caller.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Debbie. I'm a first-time caller.
Hey, Debbie. Great.
And very new to the Sangha. I was at the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat over the summer. It was really, you know, amazing. It was life-changing for a while, and then conditioning comes back.
Although, as you notice, it's when you come back again, kind of to the moment, if you will, for lack of a better way to say it, that transformation that happened on the retreat is still there, isn't it?
Yeah. I came back and was able to focus and do this work thing, like, with such just unbelievable focus and, like, flow.
Yes.
After that retreat.
Yeah.
And it unlocked so much energy for me.
Mm.
Mm. I'm so grateful to be talking to you, actually, because it was really wonderful for me. And I'm very grateful to you.
We just love when folks call in afterwards and report back, and to realize that the work that we all do at the monastery, you know, folks come in and we have 8 days together, and it makes such a big difference for all of us, and we all take it out into our lives and practice like crazy. So thanks for calling in and reporting.
Oh, pleasure. I'm thrilled that I got through.
So what's going on these days?
Oh, well, there's like a rock in my stomach. So conditioning is throughout the day today, since, say, 11 o'clock, I've been, conditioning has been telling me that I should just give it up. I'm not really good at my job, and I'm looking around at how terrific everybody else is doing this type of work, and how am I going to do this? And in the better moments, I'm like, okay, these are the things I want to put into place to try. I want to try this because I feel like a beginner, but I've been doing this for a long time, but
yeah.
I've changed the audience, and I don't feel as effective as I would like to.
And are there other days where you don't feel that way, where you feel like, oh, this is great, it's going well, I'm pretty good at this?
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is important to see, isn't it?
Difference is so dramatic.
And it's you know, conditioning wants us to think that on a day like today that you had where it's hard for whatever reason, it's always been like that, it's always going to be like that, and that's the truth.
And I might as well quit, and I should be doing something else. I should be, because these people know how to do it, and I'll never be any good.
Yeah, I'm curious if you've recorded that process on your recorder.
Well, it was in work I did even at the retreat, and I've listened to that, so many times. So Yes,
that's great. Because in my experience, and I'm guessing this is probably, you know, something that comes up for you somewhat regularly, so it's sort of a core piece of how conditioning causes you to suffer, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That just continuing to go through it with your eyes open in the way that you did today, the way that I know that is that you're reporting on it, that you called into the radio show to talk about it, which is huge, right? That's a giant step towards stepping back from it and not believing it. And so having that experience of having it go on with you bringing that conscious awareness to it, it begins to wear it out. That yes, conditioning will keep trying to pull that on you because it always has been able to, because it's a very effective way to get you to suffer. But that as continue to go through it with that awareness, you begin to see through it, and the believability will diminish.
So I'm not going to stop because I want to keep. I'm committed to like two big goals right now, and I feel discouraged today. Conditioning has led to some suffering.
Yes.
That feels like discouragement.
Yes.
I don't even know how to stop.
Yes. Yes. And the good news is, of course, it isn't you doing that, and so you don't need to stop because you can't. It would be like, you know, the old trying to stop your neighbor from playing annoying music. Well, you don't have any control over that. So you're not gonna stop it from happening. You're gonna change your relationship to it.
Oh, I see. You mean the conditioning?
Exactly.
Okay. I'm not gonna be able to stop the conditioning. It's going to continue, but I change my relationship to it. I lighten up around it. Don't take it seriously. Is that?
Yeah, exactly. Don't believe it. You know,
yeah.
So when it comes up and says, you know, oh, look at everyone's so good at this job, and I'm not. You know, oh please, I've heard that one before.
Right, like get the violin out.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Yeah, so maybe just, you know, after we get off the phone, some real acknowledgement, encouragement, reassurance to the person who hung in there today, who continues to hang in there when, you know, conditioning is at her about all of these things, and who has these goals that she, it reminds me a little bit of the, you know, guitar lessons process. She really wants to achieve those goals. So then let's support her in that, you know, and acknowledge her for hanging in there when conditioning's trying to talk her out of it.
I'm finding the supports that the Sangha brings to be so helpful.
Yeah. No, me too. Essential. Yep. Well, Debbie, thank you for calling in today, because that, I'm projecting, that must be huge. Instead of just kind of believing it and putting your head down, calling into the radio show and talking about it.
Thank you, Jen. Thanks for everything.
You're most welcome.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Debbie. You're listening to Open Air. Jen, we have another caller.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. This is Virginia.
Hey, Virginia.
Hi. Well, I wanted to call tonight and report back on something.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's been a while, but in the spring, well, actually, when I was at the New Year's retreat last year, I was working on some stuff around my mom.
Which is an amazing retreat, am I right?
It is an amazing retreat. I plan to be there this year again.
Yeah.
I love New Year's retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I highly recommend it.
So you were working on some stuff with your mom?
Yep, around my mom. Sherry gave me some guidance. And I actually used the voice recording to help me to kind of get to a different place with that. And when I reported back in, I think it was probably March, mm-hmm. Sherry suggested that I take in another step and write a letter of gratitude to my mom, kind of expressing this different place that I was at. So I did, well, I actually procrastinated, but I wrote the letter and I sent it in May. Actually, someone sent it for me in May, and I have no reason to doubt that they actually sent it, but my mom never got the letter, the first letter that I mailed. So I called her. I said, did you get the letter? No. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to send you another letter. But I just got around to it a few weeks ago, and I sent her, I rewrote it, and it was long, and you know, it was really kind of funny because I wrote it and then I, you know, there was second guessing and then it was like, you know, the penmanship is bad. You used the wrong, and even you used the wrong pen, that just looks messy. I mean, there was a lot of pushback, I guess. And well, I set it down for a couple of days and I looked at it again. I said, no, this looks fine. And I sent the letter to my mom and then she got it. And she called me and to tell me that she got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she told me, she said, well, you know, I got this letter and you know, I don't agree with it.
Mm.
And I had told her, and in the letter I had told her of all the things that we had, you know, all the things that I was grateful for. And what I realized in writing the letter was that I and my siblings, but me, I was speaking for myself, had a lot of opportunities, like a ton of opportunities. And a lot of it was because of my mother's high energy and, you know, intention, you know, her love for us, really.
Mm-hmm.
So she told me she didn't agree. And I said, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? And she said, which, you know what, Jen, I had this sense, but I never really knew for sure, but I always had a sense my mom had some guilt around some stuff that happened. And so she said, you know, she said, well, you know, I think I screamed at you guys. I was always screaming at you guys when you were kids, which she kind of was too, but it was kind of, but I said, well, you know, Mom, it just depends what we want to put our attention on.
Right.
And so she said, yeah, well, I guess there were some good times. And then we started talking about the good times.
Oh, wow.
And I told her again, you know, what things that I thought that I had, you know, advantage, that the things that she gave to me and taught me that not everybody was got, you know, really, really good things. Anyway.
So, I mean, actually, I think what you're describing is your mother, so she received this letter from you that was full of gratitude and thanking you for all the opportunities that, thanking her
yeah.
for all the opportunities that she had provided to you and your siblings. And that it sounds like, I mean, we can project, who knows what's going on for her, but that self-hate wanted to block that, wanted to block her from being able to receive that gratitude from you.
Gosh, you know, I hadn't thought about it that way, but I guess, yes, I guess that is true. And I guess that might go with the other part, which is she was so, self-hate wanted to block her from receiving the gratitude by getting her to look at what went wrong, what wasn't working or what.
Like, oh, no, that's not true. I wasn't a good mother. I didn't have all that energy and all that love for my kids and give them all those opportunities. You know, I mean, can't you just picture it? You just yelled at them all the time. You didn't.
Right. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess what I noticed was I project that she's been carrying that around all these years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, and then that just, this was allowed her to finally speak it.
Yeah.
And what's, I guess all the irony in it is that I was carrying stuff around too about her.
Oh, isn't it just so true? I mean, that's human relations in a nutshell right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it is, and I guess I am so grateful that I got the guidance to write the letter and that finally the letter got there, because it made me really realize that by speaking my truth, by speaking my truth to my mom, it allowed her an opening to say what was going on for her.
Yeah, and what a gift. What a gift for her to be able to say, you know, talk about that guilt that's been there and open it up to the light. I mean, talk about that all the time when we're on retreat and in practice in general, that the way self-hatred can keep all of us hostage and in suffering is to keep us alone with it. So those years, you know, having all that guilt, and then you have the other side of the whole story going on, right?
Right.
Like the whatever it is, the resentment or the, you know, guilt or the whatever piece suffering for each of us, the only way that can stay in place is if we don't communicate.
Yeah, that is really it. That's a huge one that I hope I hope I can remember a little bit of.
Yeah.
Well,
you'll record about it, I'm sure, if you haven't, right?
Yes, I will. Actually, I will. Thank you. It's helpful that you pointed out the things you pointed out, because it helps me kind of pull it together a little bit. And then I just want to say real quick, Jen, that so I talked to her after that, after she got the letter and stuff another time, and I just want to say that I did also notice that she, in our conversation, she just seemed a lot lighter, and I project, but maybe I was too, but just there wasn't, whatever gunk that might have been there before wasn't there.
Yeah, I can just imagine it just opens up a whole different possibility for that relationship.
Right. Yeah, that's it. I think it opens up a whole different possibility.
Yeah.
I'm kind of getting teary about this. This has been, it's been kind of big for me. And
really big.
Yeah, really big. In fact, I was driving somewhere last night, and I noticed that there was a pull to go to this place of like Nobody Loves Me and something like this. And I never had really noticed the beginning of it before, where you get the pull. And I got the pull, and then I kind of flashed on my mom, and then it was like, oh no, I can't go there anymore because that's not true.
That is so great. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
Yeah.
So,
you know, just the last thing that occurs to me that would be so fun, maybe you've already done this, but to, or maybe you didn't actually, it sounded like you hand wrote the letter, so you might have sent the only something off to your mom, but sometime you could ask her to send it back to you and switch and own all the projections.
Oh, gosh. Well, actually, what I did is I typed it on the computer, and then I wrote it by hand.
Oh,
so you can go back. I do have a copy.
Version.
Yeah.
And read it to Virginia.
That's a great, that is a beautiful idea. Okay, I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to report back on that.
Great. Excellent.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks, Virginia.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. You're listening to Open Air. Then we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, well, hi, Jen and Michael. This is George.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Well, this is good. This is a real treat. I've been working at trying to get on for a while now, and I must have dialed it exactly the right second.
Yeah, it is getting more.
Or whatever, however the system works. But anyway,
yeah.
It picked me tonight. So.
You know, we get participation points in the participation game for each of the callers into the show, not who get live. And those numbers come through. I mean, there can be like 20 callers on a show, so it is challenging to get through.
So, very interesting situation here. I just had a conversation with my wife today, and she sort of corroborated what I had been experiencing, and that is that we have two children. They're in their early 30s, actually, but we're, you know, neither one of them are married, and they're still trying to find themselves and so on. And I've noticed that they don't answer my emails and they don't call me. They call their mother quite a lot. And as it turns out, they are not happy with, well, no one in the family is happy with Sherry Huber. In fact, my wife, I tried, years ago to play a little something that I thought was pretty interesting and she'd be interested in. She said, oh, I can't stand her voice. Turn that off. And, you know, has never been open to listen to anything since. And my kids are, they're both suffering quite a lot. They just, both of them grind their teeth at night, and my daughter just found out that two of her teeth are cracked and the other teeth are ground down, and she needs to get this thing to wear at night. And she has these sort of semi-breakdowns and things like that. And my son is very unhappy with his situation, and everything gets blamed on external situations, his job, where he lives. And everyone believes that their personality is who they are, and, you know, very much involved in that. So I do have a hard time conversing because I just can't, in honesty, go into those conversations of regret and remorse and you know, blame and all of that stuff, because there's so much of it, and I know it so well, and I feel this great compassion because I went through so much of that myself, and also part of it is that I was diagnosed as bipolar by a psychiatrist, and I you know, all of my family knows that, and so I'm sort of considered the one that's the biggest problem in the family.
Right.
Even though it was, even though it's been quite a while since that was the centerpiece of my life,
mm-hmm.
Still it's kind of, you know, in fact, my son, I know, believes that a lot of his problems are, I'm responsible for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's some truth to that. I mean, there's, you know, there's definitely, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree and all that. I just
like,
don't.
You know, the, I mean, it's not an exact parallel, but it's reminding me a little bit of our conversation earlier with Chris. In
mm-hmm.
the sense of, it sounds like there's a lot of support that you could use when you're in relationship with them, because, you know, sort of your, it sounds like what you'd love to do, your instinct would be, oh, you know, here's this book, There Is Nothing Wrong With You, or all the things that have been
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
you in those places.
But mm-hmm.
that sounds like that's not really an option for you, that at least
no.
today your kids and your wife are not open to that. And so
right.
I'm guessing there's something, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but something that goes on for you there in that. And so some real support and mentoring and assistance that you could use as that goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have been able to bring that forth to a reasonable extent. I mean, years ago, this would have been devastating to me, you know,
uh-huh.
to hear this kind of thing.
Yeah, which is
and it's sad now. It saddens me, but it's not.
Yeah.
At least at this point, it's not. You know, believing the voices that want to come in and you know condemn me and say yes, you know, they're right, and you're a terrible father, and you know, look what you did, and it's all your fault, and you should be ashamed, and you know, you should feel worse than they do, and, you know, all of that.
Or, you know, with someone with a slightly different karma, go to the other side of the duality of, you know,
mm-hmm.
I can't believe all of you. Don't you see how I...
Yeah, what's the matter with you? Can't
yeah.
you see the truth, you know? And
and what
you know.
Almost what a service you're providing in just simply practicing with that.
Yeah.
Simply practicing. And, you know, we don't know. You know, we have no idea. To me, at least, it feels like there's a much bigger picture than we'll ever have a sense of. But just
mm-hmm. yeah.
your willingness
yeah.
to practice with that in your own practice, your own being,
mm-hmm.
your own,
mm-hmm.
you know, we always talk about the only place I can end suffering is here with this person.
Yeah.
And your
yeah.
willingness to do that with this content, you know, who knows what effect that's going to have on everyone around you, whether they
mm-hmm.
you can see
mm-hmm.
that or not.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way I see it, and the way I'm working with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's good to get that reassurance from Sangha, from you, that's the only way to be. I mean, it's, you know, it's just more, it's incredibly powerful raw material to practice with.
I was just thinking that same thing, George. And it has to be okay because it is.
Mm-hmm.
Know,
yeah, yeah, it is.
For whatever reason,
yeah.
this is how,
mm-hmm.
you know, your children and your wife are right now with this particular
mm-hmm.
content. And we don't know, I mean, yeah, it's just, who knows what we're even seeing, if that's, you know, what
yeah.
we're projecting, what piece of that plays into it, the
yeah.
whole thing.
Yeah, what stories we're making up about it, what, you know, who really thinks what, and
yes.
so on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
exactly. And so to just step back from all of it, not get tangled in
yeah.
it, and just
yeah.
realize, okay, this,
yeah.
all of my life
yeah.
is practice, and so is this.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And boy, I mean, you know, because you've been on many, many retreats, you've been practicing a long time, all it can do is open our heart that much more. This is, of course, what we want with the folks that we love.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it forces it to open more.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's like, okay, get out the crowbar and open it a little more.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
The crowbar of love or whatever.
Crowbar of love, yeah. Get a little leverage in there. And
a little leverage.
Yeah.
Well, and which is great because it's like, okay, you have gotten this far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me more. I want to open. I want to keep opening. I want those challenges to be there. It's not like, you know, you suddenly get to a certain level and then you kind of coast.
No way.
You know, let me coast through the rest of life. I mean, that's you might as well be dead, I suppose.
And in some ways, doesn't it seem like when it feels like our practice is ready for it, life gives us the next thing to practice with?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, George.
Well, thank you, Jen and Michael, for being there. I really... Very helpful to have that reassurance from you.
Yeah, great. Thanks for calling in tonight.
Okay.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, George. You're listening to Open Air. Jen, we're about 4 minutes to the hour. Would you like to take another caller?
Sure, why not?
Okay, great. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Pasha. Can you hear me?
Hey, Pasha, I can hear you.
Oh, hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. I'm very good. I'd like to maybe pass to the next person. What if a first-time call is waiting there? So, Michael, could you do that magic, please?
Okay, so Michael is going to wave his magic wand. Take the next caller who we're gambling is going to be a first-time caller. Is that right?
Yes, and I'll see you on the bridge walk.
All right, I can't wait. An act of generosity. Right. Thank you, Pasha.
Thank you.
Okay, so if I followed that, Jen, I'm taking the next caller. Is that right?
I think so, and we're thinking it might be a first-time caller.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Next caller, are you there? Okay, should we go to one after that?
Why not? Yes. Go through the whole queue.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello.
Hello.
I'm astonished.
Who's this?
This is Libby.
Hey, Libby.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. I didn't expect to be on, so I'm not prepared. Well, I was up at the monastery a couple weeks ago, and you call me Elizabeth. And I said, I'm following these people who are all drunks and crazy, and I didn't realize until afterwards that they were those voices in my head.
You were talking in group
about
content in your life of following these drunks and crazies, and then you realized later that was an accurate projection from the voices in your head. That
right,
they were the ones who were.
Yeah,
crazy.
I was thinking I had to just change all my friends, you know, and I just have to change who I'm listening to.
Oh, well put. Yeah. If we just stop listening to the crazy conversation in our head, our lives would be a lot more
fun. Well, you know, here's a question, though. I realized recently that some of the voices, I'm able pretty much to ignore the ones who are telling me, well, you'll never, and you always, and you, well, you certainly mess that up, and all that kind of stuff. But now there's just kind of a general, hum of...
Mm-hmm.
Confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what to do next. You know, I had to take myself out for coffee today and have a little chat, you know.
I love it. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just couldn't. I was making lists. Nothing seemed to be gelling for me.
Yeah. Well, so I bet you so many people can resonate with that, where, you know, conditioning has this one way of just, it can really just cause us suffering, just sort of foolproof. And then over time, with practice, we start to see through it. And pretty soon, the voices have to switch tracks.
I think that's happening to me. Well, how exciting to get to a new level.
Yes, exactly. And you just did it. You just switched the conversation in your head from confusion, I'm not really sure, to, oh, how exciting is this? I'm at a new level of practice.
Yeah, and the way it ended with my coffee was I made a list of burning desires, and then I knew what to do today.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, I thought, why would I put off doing the stuff I really want to do when I have a whole lot to do right now? Because I'm going to leave Cleveland and come back to the Bay Area. Woo!
All right.
Yeah, I'm really happy about that. Well, most of the time.
Right.
Yeah, but so I'm confused about what to do on a daily basis, and I think I just have to do my burning desires every day and off the list, because everything I need to do, I need to do. I just do the list and do the stuff that really speaks to me.
Yes. And invariably, it will all work, because it always has.
Well, or it won't, and it won't be the world will keep spinning on its axis.
Well, that's the thing, is in the big picture, it always works. Maybe not what, the little I want,
but
in the larger sense, it all always works out, because here we are to talk about it.
Here we are to talk about it, yeah. What a great show today. I really got a lot out of talking about families and being the object of other people's projections.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so scary.
That's great. All right. Well, thank you, Libby.
Thank you very much. I'll see you soon.
Are you coming to the walk?
I can't. I'm still in Cleveland, and I'm really going to have to plan something great for that day because I'm going to miss it so much. But Paul's coming.
Too soon nonetheless. Sooner or later.
Yeah. Okay. I'll come to the 11th.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank
Good night.
You
thank you, Michael.
You're
welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. You've been listening to Open Air. Jen, it's been my great privilege and pleasure to have you with us tonight.
It's been a pleasure for me too, Michael.
Great. And we'll do it again.
I hope so.
Thank you, Jen.
All right. Good night.
Good night.